Will you kindly turn this evening to the book of Isaiah the prophet and in chapter 6 for our first reading. Isaiah the prophet and chapter 6 for our first reading. And reading from verse 2. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, 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 is the Lord of the hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I would like to read a verse in the book of Exodus, please, in chapter 28. The book of Exodus and chapter 28. Reading Exodus and chapter 28, and reading from verse 36. Thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave it upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre, it shall be. Another verse, please, in Isaiah and in chapter 35. Isaiah and chapter 35. And verse 8. And an highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, and it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools should not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up upon thereon. It shall not be found there, and the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The book of Zechariah for our final reading, please. The book of Zechariah for our final reading. Reading at verse 20. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 20. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I would like this evening, by the help of the Lord and by the help of his gracious Holy Spirit, just to address you this evening on the subject of holiness. In this world in which we live, it is the last thing that men think about, is the subject of holiness. Of course, being natural men, they cannot think upon such a subject as holiness. The natural mind comprehendeth not the things of God. Everything in this world is the very antithesis of holiness. And one would find that that which is without may possibly and insidiously, even seductively, creep in amongst the Lord's people. And I want in my few minutes just to address you upon this subject, to see that there is holiness in the heavens. I want you to think about that. That irrespective what we're like or what the world's like or anything like that, we want to establish the fact that there is holiness in the heavens. I was impressed greatly while reading in 28 of Exodus that there was to be upon the mitre of the high priest there was to be written upon his forehead, holiness unto the Lord. I want to address you upon that. That even in that holy place, for as you know, those garments of glory and beauty, they were taken off, and he went in with those pure, clean linen garments into the Holy of Holies. But in that holy place, there was to be a sense of the holiness of God. Not only so, I was impressed greatly, not now, but years ago, that in that coming millennial glory, there shall be a way, a highway to Zion, and that highway shall get a name, and the name of the highway is holiness unto the Lord. We're going to look upon that highway, and we're going to draw some comfort from it and some encouragement for our souls. But Zechariah, before we come to that awful book of Malachi, Zechariah encourages us in his last chapter, chapter 14, how he shows to us the establishment of the king and the kingdom. But he says, not only shall the throne be marked by that unshakable nature and sublime majesty, but there shall be seen upon the very horses in that coming day, in every commercial exploit, or even the pots and pans in the domestic sphere of the people of God in that future day, there's going to be this ultimate holiness unto the Lord. So, in our few minutes, we want to address you on holiness in the heavens, thinking about holiness in the sanctuary of God, thinking about holiness as marking that highway in that great millennial day, holiness in on the very horses, bridles, under the control of holiness, and even that seemingly ordinary sphere of the home, on every pot in Jerusalem, there shall be this stamped upon it, just as that was etched upon the gold, upon the mitre of the high priest. There shall be etched upon the bridles and upon the pots in Jerusalem these solemn words, holiness unto the Lord. When we do think of holiness, we think about holiness as only attributable to God in essence. And how beautiful it is that holiness is attributed to our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't possibly like the sphere that it came from, but the demons cried of him, "We know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." How blessed it is, apart from a few instances, when the Holy Spirit of God is spoken to us in the Word of God, he's always addressed to us as the Holy Spirit of God. How beautiful when we come to think about Scripture, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. How beautiful, even though it's difficult to understand, how that in the New Testament saints are called holy brethren. How that even in our very salutations, greet one another with a holy kiss. Even the assembly, which temple ye are, is described as a holy place. And I would love this evening if God would give me help to impress upon you the subject of holiness. That there is a recognized, stable, acknowledged, heavenly holiness. That nothing shall shake, and nothing shall take away, and nothing shall tarnish, and nothing shall diminish the holiness of heaven. But God intends in the latter end, in dealing with things on the earth, that there shall be holiness, In the most minute and the most detailed, there's no one came in here today that gave a thought to a pot or a pan or a bridle of a horse. But God gives thoughts to these things, and there's going to be holiness streaming right from the very throne of God, coming right down into the earth, right down into the holy place, right down onto the very highway, right down onto the very bridles of the horses and into the spheres of commerce. And there's going to be holiness in every domestic sphere of human life. Whether we believe in holiness or not, those mighty beings in heaven, those flaming ones, the seraphims, they believe in it. And how they talk to each other and educate each other. You know, angels educate each other. They say one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of the hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory." You know, I was encouraged tonight to re-believe in my heart that one day very soon the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. It's hard for our minds to take it in. We can take in a spoonful of incense, can't we? We can take in a handful of fine meal. We can take in a heart full of Christ. We can even, like Simeon and Anna, take an armful of Christ. Sometimes, only rarely, can we take in a houseful of the sweetness of the odors of others' offerings. But Isaiah sees a throne filled, and Isaiah sees a temple filled in this chapter, and then he sees the whole earth filled with the glory of the Lord. These seraphims have six wings. If I had six wings, you wouldn't stop me flying. You wouldn't stop me getting about. I would take 10 meetings in a day if I could, if I had six wings. But I noticed about those wings, there's only two of them for flying. Those other sets of wings are for modesty and for humility. There are some in here understand the meaning of this passage. There are some possibly don't. No, the meaning of this passage is this, that these beings, these seraphims, call them what you will, these elect angels, never to sin again. These great beings cannot stand forever before the blaze of the majesty of the enthroned Christ. They've to cover their eyes. They've to cover their feet, even though they're not guilty. Even though now they haven't the capacity to sin. They feel defiled in the holy presence of the enthroned Christ. My dear saints, whatever we think, or whatever our judgments are in relation to holiness, holiness is believed on in heaven. And as they fly away, they cannot stand forever before the blaze of the majesty of the enthroned Christ. And it is Christ. John 12 is the answer to that. It is Christ. Holiness in heaven. My dear friends tonight, I do wish you to understand that holiness is a very, very important matter in heaven. Don't trifle with the things of God. Don't play fast and loose with the things of God. And don't play fast and loose with the things in the assembly of God. Remember the holiness of God's throne. You know, those beings were struck, and so was the prophet struck. And if we had more men that were awestruck with the presence of God, there would be less people pronouncing woes on others. And we would be pronouncing more woes upon ourselves. Woe's me, for I am undone. Now, a sense of the holiness of God, it affects a man, affects his being, affects his manner, affects everything about him. And remember those six wings. Two were for the covering of the eyes. Because they would be blinded, they cannot stand the might and the glory and the majesty of the throne of God. If you were reading through Exodus chapter 28, and I'm not going to be long, you would be affected by the whole system. The thing that always affects me in reading those passages is the cost of everything. Oh, I'm not an economist, and I'm not a Silas Marner, but the cost of the business. Gold everywhere. Those engravings and those stones in the breastplate. Why, if they get something like that at Sotheby's, The value of it all. The order of it all. The dignity of it all. Just take a look at the men that functioned. No one had a hearing aid. No one had a stick. No glasses. I would be discountenance too in the most of the men here. What order, what dignity, what strength, what glory marked it all. But even in the choicest of them, the high priest. Oh, the choicest of them. He had to have blazoned upon his head, holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. I want to give that a little turn now. You know, when you're dealing with holy things, it takes you to have a holy mind. That's what the brethren were getting over to us. We must have a mind, or all these things down the chapter in chapter 12 of Romans. You've got to have a renewed mind. You've got to have a spiritual mind. You've got to have God's thinking on things. You've got to keep looking at things from God's side of the altar. Holiness to the Lord. I was touched with what is on his head. What is on his shoulders. What is on his breast. And I was impressed with this. That even the very details of his inner garments, and the reason and the very place to which they came, there was to be nothing foul. Listen to the words of Ezekiel 44. Lest it causeth sweat in the sanctuary. God doesn't want the shadow. He doesn't want us to be standing between the candelabra and the altar of incense. He wants no shadow of a human being over these holy things. He doesn't want any steps up to the altar, lest thy nakedness be seen. Have you still got pet themes at the Lord's Supper? Have you still got pet hymns at the Lord's Supper? Lest it causeth sweat in the sanctuary. Oh, that the tremendous gravity of these matters would really get in upon our way of thinking. I love those millennial passages in Isaiah. And there's many of them. And sometimes they're just etched in great chapters that are linked with the day of the Lord, with trouble and difficulty and all the tribulation coming on. And just etched in some of these chapters are beautiful little encouragements that tell of another day. That tell of another way. A day and a way that the world at the present time has never even been able to imagine. Of a way that shall be straight. Of a highway that shall be holy. Of people singing on it. And they shall return. People shall be recovered on it. And the nation of Israel recovered again. Shall walk in the light of it. and no one shall get lost on it, and no one shall err on it. And these words caught my spirit, and there be no sorrow or shine. You look at this dark world in which we live. I don't know what it is here, but the old people, they'll hardly go out the door. They'll hardly go out in the dark. They're longing for the longest day of the winter to be past. There will be another half hour onto the clearness of the nights. What a world we live in. And the pollution. Oh, there's coming a day on this earth, a millennial day. Oh, it shall be a blessed day. No lion in the way. No ferocious beast to meet. No gigantic problems and daily and hourly pressures. Nothing like that. What a glorious day it's going to be for that future day in Israel. The millennial glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's coming a day on earth when the highway shall be called holiness to the Lord. I don't think I know a highway, whether it's some end of it, or beginning of it, or in it, or about it. There's nothing but sadness. But there's going to be a way, and it's going to be called the way of holiness. Zechariah takes it further, and he says, and in that day, upon the bridles of the horses, there shall be etched holiness to the Lord. I'm quite sure that there is a definite link to commercialization here, because at the end of Zechariah, he brings in the thought, there shall be no Canaanite, no trafficker in the house of the Lord. Oh, commerce today. Business today. Corruption today. Bribery today. Underhand dealings today. I hope you're not among them, brethren. Oh, it's terrible to try to sleep with a soiled conscience. To someone, I can't be poor, I've got my family to keep, I've built that house. You know, brethren, when a man's in touch with God, very little does him. When a man's in touch with God, very little does him. And when a man's out of touch with God, he couldn't be sufficed with anything. Oh, I want to say this to you. There's a humble way of life. There's a contented way of life. Don't always be looking higher and seeking bigger and wanting more. You'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. For there's coming a day when even in all the commercial places of that day, it shall be holiness unto the Lord. Yes, I'm about to sit down. But in the pots in Jerusalem in that day, on them also there's going to be holiness to the Lord. I remember in my time, you could have went into houses in our village. They weren't saved people then. They weren't gathered out. They were just humble, ordinary people, and they were righteous. And they were kindly. And they were warm and friendly. They weren't saved. What kind of world are we in? We hardly even know the neighbours. What kind of homes is that? We had a young chap not long saved, and he went to gather up all the children. And the wee boy said to him, as he took him by the hand, he says, "You've not to call me Smith now, call me something else. I've got a new daddy now." When they were going to get them the next son, they're in another place. Domestic circumstances, the likes of which cushioned Christians know nothing about. Broken hearts, broken homes, and broken lives. It's coming. coming a day, my friend, in the great millennial glorious day of the Lord Jesus, when upon this earth, on the very pots, on the pans, on everything shall be stamped holiness unto the Lord.